You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, and that music only means one thing, and that is Cynthia Freeland, not Stefania Bell. Cynthia, I went to a break, and I was like, Stefania Bell joins me next. I had her on my digital show, On the Mark, my fantasy digital show on Thursday night. I'm sorry, I had a blonde moment. Yeah, it is the one and only Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. Cynthia, hi!
Hello, and you can mistake me for Stefania Bell anytime. That is a nice compliment for me. Maybe not much for her, but, you know, works for me.
Oh, I just, you know what, it takes me back to those days where all three of us were employed at ESPN, and I'd come up to Bristol, and we'd all hang out and go to dinner and drink copious amounts of wine and then go to work hungover the next day. That was fun.
That was very fun. We need to do that again, except maybe the location can be a little bit warmer, a little bit less, you know. There's a lot of snow involved in those days. I didn't like that so much.
There was. All right, let's dive into the big matchup, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. My favorite quote is Ray Lewis saying that whenever the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens went at it, you always packed two mouthpieces because you knew at some point in time you were going to lose one in the game. I mean, that's how physical, right? That's how physical. I can't wait for this game. Game script, Cynthia, how do you see this playing out?
You know, the interesting part is we're talking a lot, or I'm hearing a lot about the Pittsburgh defensive front and their ability to generate pressure because they are the best in the NFL at it. But I will say, the Baltimore Ravens, they might bring the eighth most pressure in terms of percentage, but the way that they blitz in that third down blitzing situation, and Ben Roethlisberger having kind of changed his persona into being this quick passer, I'm curious to see how that works. It's kind of like we're seeing, you know, a different sort of Ben Roethlisberger in a different sort of situation, and I want to know how the Ravens are going to attack that. That, is to me, is going to be the question mark of the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I want to say, I read something this week. Ben Roethlisberger is getting the ball out within like 2.13 seconds.
He's fast.
Right. So now take that. This is the best secondary that his receivers will have faced all season. Okay. So who knows if they're going to be open at 2.13 seconds. On top of that, add Ngakoue, who was traded to the Baltimore Ravens from Minnesota with Calais Campbell, them getting after Ben, it's going to be, I'm with you. I think it's going to be like with all those things, that defensive line, the DBs, the quick passes. I think it's really going to favor the Ravens here. I'm with you, Cynthia.
I also like the fact that the Ravens had a bit more time to watch that Tennessee game and see. Tennessee had a really slow start last week. In fact, they've had a slow start kind of a few times this year, and they weren't able to dig themselves out of that slow start hole. So it's curious to me if they're going to think, okay, how can we be the Pittsburgh in this situation? In other words, how can we force them to have a slow start? Because then you're going to get Ben Roethlisberger passing under way less favorable circumstances, and that would be the recipe for how they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here's another area of this game that I don't think enough is it's being discussed enough, and that is the loss of Devin Bush, and there's some other injuries to that Pittsburgh Steelers linebacking core. If there was at all three levels of your defense, if there's one level that you need it to be solid in order to contain Lamar Jackson, if you're not going to mirror him or shadow him, it's the linebacking core, and they didn't go out and trade with anyone to bring somebody in to fill in that Devin Bush void. To me, that's a glaring issue right there as well. And I'm expecting Lamar Jackson to have a very solid game tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. The interesting part about losing Devin Bush is, you know, I was looking last week. I was like, okay, let's see what happens with Derrick Henry, because, you know, obviously Derrick Henry is special, and he's more of a, like, obviously a pure rusher, right? Not so much of a pass catcher, as opposed to, you know, a real situation where you've got more people in coverage. Like, is it going to be, you know, was he ever going to line up with A.J. Brown? We didn't know, right? So how would they kind of mitigate that loss? So I don't have an answer yet, because you really didn't have to see that. So I'm curious to see now in this game where it will matter more, what goes on in coverage or doesn't go on in coverage now that they're having to kind of adjust to this without Devin Bush situation, which is, that's a big problem. He's one of my favorite players in the league, unsung kind of positional hero.
So, again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. A lot of the public money, there's a lot riding on the Pittsburgh Steelers with public money, but I love the Baltimore Ravens. How I mean, you know, and some people are like, well, I mean, listen, to the division rival, chances are it will only come to 3 points. I think Ravens win by a touchdown. Like I don't mind laying the points. I'll take the Ravens -4. How are you playing this, Cynthia?
I'm in the middle. I think the Ravens win the game, but I think it is a nail biter. I think that receiving core, and I know, you know, actually I was listening to Marcus Spears when I was coming on, right? Like the fact that, you know, Marshawn Lattimore is one of the best corners in the league, but we have seen Marcus Peter. He does bite sometimes. And I do think that Tomlin kind of can exploit that biting.
Interesting.
So I think their receivers will help them. So I think it's going to be the middle. But it's close.
So are you? You're going to take Pittsburgh in the points then, because you think it's going to be close. You'll take Pittsburgh +4. Is that what you're going to do?
I do. I think so.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the Ravens. Maybe a bottle of wine. I've already got Bill Barnwell was on earlier. I've already wagered a bottle of wine with him. Feel free to chime in on that wine wager.
Perfect.
we've talked a lot. Today, in fact, I had Mama Mimi calling the show from Miami. She was, I guess, more concerned about Chelsea Handler trying to date Cuomo here in New York than Tua, but that's another story.
I'm sorry, what? Chelsea Handler's trying to date Mayor Cuomo?
Oh, you didn't hear this? She asked him out on a date, this is Mama Mimi reporting that Cuomo turned her down.
I mean,
here's what I don't understand. There are a number of analysts, and it could be, I don't know what, and I'm saying this, full disclosure, people listening, I don't know what side of the coin Cynthia is on right now, but I find it really hard. Public money is all over Miami. I get it. They're getting 4. Okay. But I don't understand how people are putting their hard earned money on a player that we have not seen take a legit snap in the NFL. What do I mean legit? No garbage time. No, like, oh, Dolphins are up by 100 points. Let's have Tua come in and you know, play catch. I mean, we have not seen what he can do in the NFL. And there is so much money flowing on him in the Dolphins tomorrow against the Rams and Aaron Darnold and Jalen Ramsey. I don't get it. I'm at a loss. What side are you on and why?
All right. Because of the fact that we have not seen him take a legitimate NFL snap beyond that 9 yards that he threw against the New York Jets, that is the reason why it would be a smart situation in this case to take a flyer on this. Now, I have them winning by very small margin. I have the Dolphins upsetting by 1 point because of 2 things. The first, they've had plenty of time to scout, figure out, and kind of get this situation right for them. And 2, we've actually seen the Dolphins play pretty well. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still there. It's not like if things start, you know, going off the rails, they could switch back. They are fully capable of having that situation happen as well. Yes, Aaron Donald is not a good welcome to the NFL for any human being, and no matter what, no matter when, no matter how many snaps anyone has ever played. And Jalen Ramsey, also a problem. However, they have schemed and figured out a nice short game in areas that are exploitable for the Rams. They also have a pretty decent run game going on with Myles Gaskin. So in my estimation, the upside for the Dolphins to create that sneak attack that you often get with the first or second game with a new quarterback, that sneak attack that they cannot plan for, the Rams defense cannot. They're watching Alabama film to try to kind of understand this quarterback. They don't even have 1 snap in preseason to watch. So that is why the flyers are going on him. And part of that is why my model is picking them to kind of have a surprise upset, a very surprise upset.
Okay. All right. So another bottle of wine. I get the Rams straight up. You take the Dolphins. You take the Dolphins. I take the Rams. I will be full disclosure from Miami. I will be rooting for Tua. Like if I lose a bottle of wine to you, it's fine. I'd love to send you a bottle of wine. So, yeah. But I find this fascinating that it's not just you. It's a number of analysts. It's like everybody's on Tua in the Dolphins, and no one has seen this young man take one snap in the NFL. Yeah, I find it fascinating.
And even
last,
the Rams defense.
No, I get that. But again, we're talking mm-hmm. we're talking Aaron Donald and we're talking Jalen Ramsey who eliminates an entire area of a field, typically when he wants to. One more game I want to talk to you about before we dive into fantasy and my dog of the week. Not sure if you watched me on Daily Wager. I know you record it, but. I doubt that. Anyway, so my dog of the week, which of course on Fridays, I dress one of my dogs up in some type of football gear. And so Sookie dressed up in an Oakland Raiders jersey this week because the Oakland Raiders are my dog of the week. I like them on the money line. I think, you know, that the score in that Bucks game is not a true tale of how that game played out. The Oakland Raiders were in that game up to the end of the third quarter. They were only down by 7, and then they had some more hits and some injuries to the offensive line. They couldn't run the football, and then all hell broke loose. So I just think Oakland's a better team. I think Gruden and Carr are going to be ready. A lot of people think that this Browns team is better without Odell Beckham Jr. I don't believe that. I think the Raiders win straight up. I'm curious, how are you playing that matchup?
So when I look to see what's interesting about this game, of course, no team is better without Odell Beckham Jr. That's preposterous. I wrote about that this week. He's not forcing anything to, like, okay, we got it. No, it's still not a better team without him. They said a lot of different offensive situations going on. I do agree with you that the Raiders did not look like the Raiders against the Bucks. I had them keeping it very close. Once we heard that their O-linemen were playing, I had it as a close game, one in which I did not think the score would be as lopsided by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I had to wear a sombrero on Game Day View yesterday because of that particular fact. So for me, the interesting part about the Raiders in this matchup is, yes, I do think that they keep – I do have the Cleveland Browns winning, but I have like a one-point win, not anywhere near – you know, no blowout, nothing like that. And I do think a week of practice without your O-line can make any team a little bit shaky. And in that case, that's what the Raiders were dealing with last week. And this week, that is not the case. They have a great opportunity here to exploit many levels of the Browns' defense other than Myles Garrett that, you know, have been playing sometimes good, sometimes bad. We've seen both out of them. So it's interesting to me because Derek Carr has been playing very well. Derek Carr has been completing a lot of deep passes, intermediate passes. He's made Nelson Aguilar relevant for fantasy purposes yet again. So for me in this one, I think it's a nice close game, but I think the Browns just barely eke it out.
Again, she's Cynthia Freeland. You can see her all over the NFL Network. As always, we end our segment with her talking fantasy, and she tees up for us her sleepers heading into week 8. So Cynthia, let's go. Quarterback, baby, who you got?
I understand that I don't know how sleepy this is anymore, but I don't know if enough people are taking Joe Burrow. I think you absolutely need to play him, especially against Tennessee. If you need someone even sleepier than that, Carson Wentz, I think absolutely time to play him too, both of those people. And if you're really desperate and you want to take a flyer, you could look at Jimmy Garoppolo as well.
Love all three of them. At the running back position, who you like?
Okay, so running back position, obviously, stay the heck away from anything in Seattle. Don't try to get cute there. They're all on the injury report, so stay away there. Just go for your Jamal Williams in Green Bay. No Aaron Jones. If you can get him, great. If you cannot get him, you could look a little bit deeper. You could go with JaMychal Hasty. You didn't have a great out last time, but you could go this time against Seattle. Don't love that one all the way. However, you could look at Boston Scott, too, if he's available in any of your leagues.
I'm hearing a lot of great things about Hasty. I'm hearing that the coaching staff in San Francisco love him, and they're going to be teeing him up against Seattle, which I know their rush defense is a lot better than their pass defense, but nonetheless.
Yep.
Wide receiver, who's your sleeper wide receiver this week?
Well, you want to take Scotty Miller, of course, because you know that's the situation there, Tampa Bay. And then you want to also take a look at if he's available. Nelson Agholor, like I told you, for the Raiders, you know, that is an interesting pick as well. And if you want to try to get in on some of this Seattle, San Francisco option, Kendrick Bourne in daily format is rock bottom price. He could be a really good upside pick. And I'm going to give you one more because, you know, why not? I actually think Donovan Peoples-Jones, he could be a nice, if you can't get Rashard Higgins because most people went and him up in your waiver wire with Odell going down, then you should maybe look at Donovan Peoples-Jones as taking a flyer in that situation, because if you look at the Raiders secondary, Las Vegas has been very targetable.
And last but not least, tight end.
Tight end. Jonnu Smith, he's my favorite. If he's not available, of course, you always want to pick against the Lions when it comes to tight ends. And then if you're very, very like you absolutely need someone that is rock bottom price, something like that, if Dalton Schultz is available, then potentially him as well.
Did you say Trey Burton?
Trey Burton's my number two. Jonnu Smith, Trey Burton, and then you got all the way down to Dalton Schultz. If you, again, different price points on daily, but also potential for availability in your league.
Fantastic. Great stuff as always. Cynthia, you rock. Always appreciate your time here on 98.7 ESPN. Enjoy week 8, my friend.
And you as well. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.